Have you ever, watched how water spreads out on a dry surface, that wiggly edge it
Oh,
makes?
yeah, or like a crack forming in glass, how it sort of branches out.
Exactly. It looks messy, right? Almost chaotic. But what if there's actually some hidden pattern underneath, like a kind of universal dance these growing edges are doing?
Interesting way to put it.
Well, today we're taking a deep dive into that. It's a field of physics looking at the stochastic motion of line. Basically, how these edges, these interfaces, grow and change.
And for a long time, understanding that was much harder than, say, Brownian motion.
Right, the random jiggling of just a single point, that's comparatively
While
simpler.
simpler is relative, but yes, the challenge here was finding universal rules for this growth. Scientists were looking, but it was tough.
Tough how? Like experimentally or theoretically?
Both, actually. Designing experiments to really see it clearly was hard, and the theory wasn't quite complete either. It was, well, elusive.
Gotcha. So our mission today is to unpack a really key paper that kind of cracked both problems. It's from 2011, Takuchi, Sano, Sasamoto, and Spohn.
Yes, in Scientific Reports, a big one.
It really was. They found something amazing about universal fluctuations that went like way beyond what people knew about scale invariance before.
And you mentioned a surprising connection?
Oh yeah, get this. Turbulent liquid crystals and random matrices.
Okay, now that sounds intriguing, a connection between a physical system and abstract math.
Exactly. We'll get there. But first, let's maybe set the stage a bit. Talk about that simpler case.
Good idea. Brownian motion.
Yeah. So that random jiggle, like pollen in water, it's super successful as a model, partly because of scale invariance, right?
Precisely. Zoom in, zoom out, the statistics look the same.
And it leads to universal things, like the fluctuations following that classic bell curve, the Gaussian distribution.
Right. And scale invariance is, well, it's huge in physics.
Yeah.
Think about equilibrium systems at a phase transition.
Like a magnet heating up to the point where it loses its magnetism.
Exactly. The critical point. The system develops this sort of fractal structure, looks similar at different scales,
Yeah.
and its behavior follows broad laws, often power laws, without needing specific scales.
That idea of universality and equilibrium, that's been bedrock for statistical mechanics for ages.
Absolutely. A real cornerstone.
Okay, but what about things that aren't in equilibrium? Stuff that's constantly changing, growing, like ink spreading on paper.
Or snowflake growing.
Yeah. You see this rough edge, the interface, and it gets rougher as it grows. But it often looks scale invariant too, doesn't it? Similar wiggles at all sizes.
It does. And to measure that roughness, we use a couple of things. There's the height, hxt, how high the interface is at position x and time t,
Okay.
and then the width, wlt, which is basically the standard deviation of that height over some length l. It tells you how rough it is at that scale.
Got it. A measure of the wiggliness.
Exactly. And lots of things, from that paper wetting you mentioned to bacterial colonies growing.
Really? Bacteria too.
Oh, yes. They often follow a specific pattern called family Vic-Sack scaling. It's a power law describing how that width of LU grows.
Yeah.
It scales like LE to the power of alpha over short distances,
Alpha.
or like T to the power of beta over longer time, so T beta.
Alpha and beta, those are the scaling
Those are the
exponents.
ones. And what's really interesting is that computer simulations, numerical models, kept finding the same exponents for many different systems, especially in one dimension.
Like what values?
Typically alpha 12 and beta E3 13.
Huh, consistently.
Very consistently. And there's a solid theoretical reason for this, based on an equation from Kardar, Parisi, and Zhang, the KPZ equation.
Ah, the famous KPZ. I've heard of that.
Right, it defines this whole KPZ universality class. The idea is that tons of different systems, despite their microscopic details, should all share these exact same alpha 12 beta equals 13 exponents.
Like they're all marching to the same beat, fundamentally.
That's the prediction, a very powerful unifying idea.
Okay, so here's where it gets, well, really interesting for our paper today. We have this strong theory, KPZ, and good numerical evidence. But actually seeing these specific exponents, alpha 12, beta of full 13, in real lab experiments, apparently that was super hard, quite elusive, as they say.
It really was. For a long time, experiments had problems.
What kind of problems?
Well, one big one was quenched disorder. Think of it like pre-existing bumps or imperfections in the material itself.
Ah, so not part of the growth process you're trying to study.
Exactly. Static noise that messes up the signal you want. It could easily hide the actual dynamic roughening governed by KPZ.
I see. That makes sense.
And also, often, just not enough data. You need a lot of measurements to really nail down these statistical properties, these exponents, convincingly.
So the field really needed a breakthrough experiment, something clean and quantitative.
Precisely. And that's the first major contribution of the Taguchi paper. It came up with this brilliant setup using liquid crystals.
Pneumatic liquid crystals, right, like in old LCD displays.
Sort of, yeah. They studied the convection, the fluid flow in these crystals, and focused on the boundary, the interface,
right,
between two different turbulent states.
Turbulent states. What were they called?
Dynamic scattering modes, DSM-1 and DSM-2. Basically, two distinct complex patterns of movement within the liquid crystal, and a clear line forms between them.
Okay, and why was the setup so good?
Several huge advantages. First, it was a strictly local process. Mm. What happens here doesn't instantly affect way over there. Very important.
Right.
Second, and crucially, it was free from quench disorder. The interface was forming dynamically in a relatively clean environment. Mm. The roughness was intrinsic to the growth.
Ah, so they eliminated that big problem.
They did.
Yeah.
Plus, the experiment was highly controllable and repeatable. They could run it again and again under the exact same conditions.
Which means lots of data, good statistics.
Essential for this kind of work. But here's the real kicker, the clever part.
Go on.
They figured out how to create both circular interfaces, like a circle expanding outwards, and flat interfaces, like a straight line moving forward.
Whoa, okay, why is that important?
Because it allowed them, for the first time really, to directly test if the starting shape, the geometry, mattered for the fluctuations. Does a curved front behave the same statistically as a flat one?
That's a great question. Did it?
Well, first let's talk about the exponents. They ran loads of trials, over 950 for the circular case, over 1,100 for the flat.
Wow, that's dedication.
It is. And the results were crystal clear. They confirmed that family Vixec scaling, the width grew with length and time, just as expected.
And the exponents, the alpha and beta.
Bang on. Alpha 12, beta expand 13. For both the circular and the flat interfaces.
Seriously, the shape didn't matter for the scaling exponent.
Not for the exponents themselves, no. It was unambiguous, 12 and 13.
So that part was universal regardless of geometry. That's huge. This was the firm experimental observation people had been looking for.
Absolutely. This was it. Clean, clear confirmation of the KPC scaling exponents in a real system. After decades of difficulty, they nailed it.
What a relief for the field, I imagine.
Immense. It validated so much theoretical and numerical work. It showed KPZ wasn't just math, it was physics happening in the lab, a real benchmark.
Okay, so exponents confirmed, check. But you know, scientists, they don't stop there.
Never. Answering one question always raises another deeper one.
So if the rate of roughening these exponents was the same for flat and curved,
yeah,
what about the actual details of the fluctuations? Their shape, their statistics?
Exactly. Could there be universality beyond just the scaling laws? That was the next big question they tackled.
And how did they look into that?
They looked at the distribution of the interface height. But first, they rescaled it, basically. They normalized the height measurements to remove the simple time dependence and allow a direct comparison of the statistical shape.
Okay, standardizing the data?
Right. Then they made histograms. And what they saw was, frankly, stunning.
Don't leave us hanging.
The histograms, the statistical distributions for the circular interfaces, were clearly different from the distributions for the flat interfaces.
Wait, even though the exponents were the same?
Even though the exponents, 12, 13, were identical, the overall shape of the probability distribution was fundamentally different, depending on whether the interface started curved or flat.
Wow. So same average roughening rate, but a different texture of randomness.
That's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
The distributions weren't simple Gaussians either. They were skewed, asymmetrical.
Okay. That is surprising. Different statistics for different initial shapes. But yeah, is that it or is there more?
Oh, there's much more. This is where the connection gets truly mind-bending.
The random matrix thing.
Random matrix thing.
Yeah.
These experimental histograms, these distributions, they measured from the liquid crystals.
Yeah.
They matched very precisely and without fitting any parameters, known mathematical distributions from a completely different field.
Mm-hmm.
Random matrix theory.
Okay, hold on. Random matrix theory, what is that and how does it possibly relate to liquid crystals? This seems like a huge leap.
It is a huge leap. That's what makes it so profound. Random matrix theory, RMT, it's a branch of mathematics that studies matrices, grids of numbers, where the numbers themselves are chosen randomly according to some rule. It looks at the statistical properties of things like their eigenvalues.
Eigen. Okay, keep going. Abstract math.
Very abstract, yes. It shows up in nuclear physics, quantum chaos, statistics, and there are different flavors of RMT, different ensembles based on the symmetries of the matrix.
Oh, yours?
Like the Gaussian Unitary Ensemble, GUE, and the Gaussian Orthogonal Ensemble, GOE. They have characteristic distributions for their largest eigenvalues called Tracy-Widom distributions.
Tracy-Widom, GUE, GOE. Okay.
So how does this connect? The distribution they measured for the circular interfaces perfectly matched the Tracy-Widom distribution associated with GUE.
GUE for circular, got it.
And the distribution for the flat interfaces perfectly matched the Tracy-Widom distribution for GOE.
GOE for flat. This is uncanny. No fitting parameters, you said.
None. The experimental data just lay right on top of these theoretical Tracy-Widom curves. It's astonishing.
So for you listening, try to picture this. The random height fluctuations of a growing boundary in a turbulent liquid crystal are statistically identical to the fluctuations of the largest eigenvalue in a giant matrix of random complex numbers, for the circular case, or random real numbers for the flat case.
It's precisely that kind of unexpected deep connection. It suggests these aren't just random fluctuations. They follow very specific universal mathematical laws, laws that also govern these abstract random matrices.
This feels like discovering a hidden mathematical structure in physical reality.
That's exactly what it felt like, a new layer of universality. They also noticed something subtle. While higher statistical moments like skewness and kurtosis match the Tracy-Widom predictions pretty quickly.
Skewness, kurtosis, measures of the distribution shape.
Right. How asymmetric it is, how peaked it is, those matched well. But the average value of the rescaled height took a bit longer to settle down. It showed a small deviation from the final prediction initially.
Ah, so not perfect instantly.
Not the mean, no. But this deviation wasn't random either. It decreased predictably over time, following a clear power law, specifically T13.
T to the minus 1/3.
Exactly. It vanished in the long run, meaning it eventually converged perfectly, but the way it approached that limit was also predictable.
Even the way it approached the universal state was predictable. Incredible. So, theory time. How did they explain why these specific random matrix distributions pop up here?
Well, the paper also provided the theoretical backing, which is just as crucial. Remember the KPZ equation?
The one that predicted the 12 and 13 exponents.
That's the one. It also inherently predicts that the scale of height fluctuations should grow like T13. Now, getting an exact solution to the KPZ equation is famously difficult.
A holy grail type problem.
Pretty much. But through some really sophisticated mathematical work, asymptotic analysis, using related discrete models, they managed to derive an exact solution for the case of droplet growth.
Which corresponds to?
The circular interface in the experiment.
Ah, okay. And this exact solution gave them?
It gave them a mathematical formula for the probability distribution of the height. And crucially, in the limit of long times, this formula converged exactly to the GUE Tracy-Widom distribution.
Wow. Theory matches experiment perfectly.
Perfectly. And it even predicted that T13 correction to the mean that they observed experimentally.
Amazing. What about the flat case, the GOE one?
At the time the paper was published, a full exact solution for the KPZ equation in the flat geometry was still, let's say, under intense development. However, work on related discrete models and models that belong to the same KPZ universality class had already strongly indicated that the flat case should correspond to the GOE Tracy-Widom distribution.
So the theoretical expectation was there, and the experiment confirmed it.
Exactly. The alignment between the detailed experimental results and these deep theoretical predictions drawing from random matrix theory was just remarkable.
So the big takeaway is, while the basic scaling exponents, alpha and beta, are the same in the KPZ class regardless of shape.
Right. Always 12 and 13.
Psst. The detailed statistical shape of the fluctuations, the specific distribution, does depend on the initial geometry. Curved gives you GUE, flat gives you GOE.
Precisely. It's universality beyond the scaling laws. The universality lies in the type of distribution, Tracy-Widom, but the specific flavor, GE or GOE, depends on the initial condition.
It's a richer, more nuanced picture of universality than just looking at exponents.
Much richer. Yeah. It connects the physical growth process directly to these fundamental mathematical structures in a way no one had clearly seen experimentally before.
Okay, what an incredible deep dive. We've gone from wiggly lines to liquid crystals to abstract random matrix math. For you, the listener, what's the really profound message here?
I think it's about the hidden order and apparent randomness. The universe seems to have these incredibly deep, robust statistical laws operating beneath the surface.
Even when things look different initially, like curved versus flat,
The underlying nature of the randomness, the specific mathematical family it belongs to, is universal.
Yeah.
It's a level of connection, a mathematical structure underlying physical processes that this work really brought into sharp focus.
And that connection to something as abstract as random matrix theory is just,
Well,
it's mind-blowing, isn't it? Linking turbulent fluids to these mathematical ensembles.
It truly is. It blurs the lines and shows how powerful these mathematical concepts are at describing reality.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it, what other seemingly unrelated things out there might actually be dancing to the same statistical tune?
That's the big question it opens up. Where else might these Tracy-Widom distributions or similar universal statistical laws be hiding? In finance, biology, climate systems, we just don't know yet.
So a final thought for you to ponder. Next time you see something growing or spreading with a rough edge, coffee drying, frost forming, maybe even traffic jams evolving.
Maybe.
And ask yourself, is this everyday roughness secretly following one of these profound universal patterns? Is it dancing to the GOE tune or the GOE tune? What hidden mathematical order might be governing the chaos you see?